Whether it seems or not, God knows. He fits things together where we don't understand. But last week when I was studying, I tried to preach last week on shouting for the Lord. And as I was studying on that, I come across some stuff, and I felt like that was groundwork for this. And so I've been excited about some of the stuff I found. And the Lord's always showing you stuff. We don't find it. He shows it to us. And as we study and we pray and we read, and he makes things stand out to us that we may have read over hundreds of times and never saw nothing in it. And all at once one day it just like,
amen.
You know, there it is. You know, that's what that's talking about. And so I pray today that we might be able to bring out something to be a help to us. I want to take a reading lesson out of 1 Peter chapter 2, very familiar scripture. Here a while back, I preached a sermon on lively stones, and you can call this what you want to, Larry, when you go to, if you see fit to put it on the recording thing. But you can call it Lively Stones number 2, or a people that was no people, I don't know, but I kind of wished I hadn't used the Lively Stones title before. But we've done used it, so we'll do the best we can with it. Peter's doing the talking here. And you begin, if you find in the first chapter, he says, unto the strangers. And I've heard different analogies on who he was talking to there. I believe he's talking to the Gentile church here in this second chapter. I believe that we're a chosen generation. A chosen nation. And it's the Gentiles church that he's talking unto. And you say, well, who's a Gentile? Well, a Gentile is me and you.
Amen.
The Jews or Israel, they come from Israel, Jacob, which God called Israel, and they was called God's people. Now, I want you to understand something. The Gentiles have always got saved just like everybody else. If they put their trust in God, if they repented and put their trust in the Lord, they'd get saved just like anybody else. But they was separated from the commonwealth of Israel. And so they was a different people, a different nation. And we are that nation. We are the Gentiles that got drafted in that wasn't a part of, but we got drafted into the vine. And you might not understand that still, but that's the only way I know to explain it to you. We wasn't from the children of Israel. But today, we are Jews. We're no longer Gentiles, if you've been saved by God's grace. But you're Jew inwardly. The circumcision of the heart. The Jews, the children of Israel, or the Jews, you might look at Abraham. God gave him a commandment to circumcise the men. And they were circumcised of the flesh, but this is not of the flesh, but it's of the heart. And so we're Jews inwardly. And Peter, he starts off talking here to strangers, and I don't believe he just wanted to come out and call them Gentiles. But I believe he still called them strangers. Because I believe he had just a little hard time letting go. Peter did now. He was the one at one time that was over there with the Gentile church. And he was having a big time with them. And James sent some down there to check on him. And here they come down here. And when Peter found out they're coming, boy, he pulled away from them. And such so that pulled Barnabas away also. And Paul rebuked him to it in the face about it because what he'd done. So Peter had just a little bit of bias still about him. So when he started this off, instead of coming out, instead of saying to the Gentiles that scattered abroad, he said to the strangers. And so y'all lay with us for a little while, and we felt like we need to lay a little groundwork. But we'll begin reading in chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, If so, you may have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom cometh as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye are lively stones, and are built up on a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up a spiritual sacrifice that's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned here a while back, we still make sacrifices. We make spiritual sacrifices. And wherefore also, and continue in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto therefore which believe in this, he is precious, but unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is the same that made the head of the corner. And the stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But listen, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that's who was chosen here, was the Gentiles. It wasn't you chose as an individual, it was a chosen nation. And we got to understand that. A royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Who is he called out of darkness? And a lot of people would say lost people. No, it was the Gentiles. But the Gentiles was separated from the commonwealth of God. And darkness into the marvelous light, which in times past, listen, here's how we was considered. In times past, were not a people, but are now the people of God. One time Jesus, when the woman come to him and asked him to come and heal her daughter, he said, is it meet for me to give the dogs the bread? Listen to me, he was talking to Gentiles. We was not even considered a people, but now you are the people of God. And which had not obtained mercy and now have attained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that stain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. But listen now, having what he says here, when you're amongst your brother and the one that is of your nation, you act this way. Having your conversation among the Gentiles. And he didn't call them Gentiles, he called them strangers. But he says, when you're among the Gentiles, which you are, you don't act like them. You act like you're a child of the King of God. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you evildoers, how they was going to talk about it because how they had tucked up and begin to follow after Christ. Evildoers, they that may by your good works which ye shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now we find here that how that Jesus was the cornerstone that would be laid and he was rejected. They didn't think he was good enough. They didn't think he was the right stone to set this foundation on, to build the house of God on. When he come into Jerusalem, and we'll read about that here in just a minute, but when he come, they was looking for something totally different. We've heard it said so many times that they expected him to come riding in on a white stallion, maybe dressed in the best attire and purple and fine linen. They was looking for a great and mighty king like Solomon was and like David was. They was looking at him to come in that carnal type way, but he didn't come that way. He didn't come looking in a way that would be handsome and desirable to mankind. He come humble, riding on a little donkey. Not dressed up all in such a manner that they was looking I want you to know they was looking for them. They was looking for the prettiest cornerstone. They was looking for one that their eyes would desire. That they know would hold up the foundation in their mind. But let me know that they need to be looking at one spiritually. And he was rejected by his own people. He came into his own received him not, but many received him, gave power to God to become children of God. Listen to me. Not all of them rejected him. Peter was one of the ones that didn't reject him. But some and a lot did. But listen to me. They rejected him to be the cornerstone. When it come time that they could release the murderer, or had a thief and a murderer, or Jesus Christ, what did they choose to do? They released the murderer, and then they said, "What would you have me do with this man called Christ?" They said, "Crucify him," and said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And so it is today. I want you to listen to me. Oh, they rejected him, and I want you to know there's a danger in rejecting a living God. This nation here, America as a nation, has got to the point now that we're rejecting Christ. We're rejecting him. We're doing everything we can. We've threw him out of our schools. We've thrown him out of our homes. We've thrown him out of everything. They want to take him in God we trust off the money. They want to take him out of everything. Nothing to do with anything. He's always been an offense to men. And that's what it's telling us there. That he was offense to them. And he's still offense to people today. If we're not careful, we'll get to the point we'll take him out of our churches. I wasn't going to talk about this today. Now, all of you done know it. I wasn't going to say nothing about it, but it got said about. But yesterday, I married a couple in a dollar store. And you're saying, what in the world? Walk in the dollar store. Sheila to do her couponing. And a woman said, "There's a preacher. Y'all want to get married?" They'd been to the courthouse. The courthouse don't marry nobody no more. So they sent them away. There I stood. I said, "Well, let me get my Bible." I went in my truck, got my Bible. I said, "Y'all come on." I said, "I've got to cancel them. I've never married nobody, and I don't care if they're church members. And I'll never marry nobody without a counselor." We went in the office there in the dollar store. We sat down there and I counseled them. I talked to them, asked them if they've been saved. They say they have been. We talked to them about all their situations, everything's going on, their financial situations. They got a job. Can they support each other? Have they prayed about this? You tell me you've been saved. Have you prayed about this? And then we went through all these things. They said, "Yeah." And I said, "I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going out here and doing vows and just walking out of here." I said, "I'll preach a wedding. I'm going to do it the same way I would at church or anywhere else." And I said, "If you don't want that done, you better tell me now." And they said, "No, you do it the way you think it needs to be done." I said, "Well, I ain't going to do it the way I think it needs to be done. We're going to do it the way that God will have it done." Amen. So we go back out there. We have prayer right there in aisle one at the cash register, and then I begin to preach. And I go ahead and preach, and people are coming in, and they're going, "What the world is going on here?" And after I preached a while, then I begin to marry them. Amen. And then the next thing you know, the young man's crying, and I'm crying. And people are still going, "What in the world is going on here?" It's offense to people. I'm telling you, you go to talking about Jesus, and people get tore up.
Yep.
It bothers them. So we married them. When I got done, I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, and shoppers at the dollar store, it's my pleasure to introduce to you for the first time who it was." I won't say who it was, but listen to me. It's offense to people. Yeah. Jesus, they don't want to hear about him. It's strange to them. And most of y'all may not like, don't think I should have done that. I wondered at first. But what is our job?
Amen.
If the government won't do it for them, who's going to? Who's going to love them enough to sit down and ask them if they've been saved? Who's going to love them enough to ask them to put God first in their marriage? If we don't do it, who's going to do it? I didn't mean to get on that. But amen.
And I tell you one thing, I'm not proud of you in the church no more than I was yesterday.
Amen. Amen.
If anybody don't like to take the Lord, I'm going to be proud.
Amen.
I believe in marriage wholeheartedly. I may have not honored marriage like I should have. I'm joking about stuff, but I sure
want
to try to be good to
God.
Amen. God bless you. I know we've got away from our thought, but God knows all about that too. We'll get back at it. So he was rejected. He was the cornerstone. That the household of God would be built on. He was that precious stone. And then there was lovely stones put on it. Now let's whip it. For a little while, as we try to get to a point, and we'll try not to be very much longer. When those come to be baptized in John, there was those come to be baptized of him, and John asked them to bring forth fruits, meats worthy of repentance. He asked them, who has warned you of the wrath to come? He wanted to know, what have you heard? And what do you know? Do you know Jesus? Or do you know the one that's coming to die for you? Have you got a testimony? And he said, think not within yourselves, we have Abraham or the Jew, the Jewish, God's people for your father. Don't think it. But he said, listen. Here's what got my mind a-ticking. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I want you to know, I believe he was talking about literal stones, but I also believe he was talking about me and you and a Gentile nation being a people that was no people, that was just nothing considered but a stone. Oh, you hang with me a few more minutes. We find, I believe it's in Job, I think, maybe 38:7, it says, when the stars danced and sang, the children of God, the men of God, I praised him. I want you to realize, if you do not praise God, he will take something or somebody and use them to praise him. You reject Hilltop Church, you reject Christ and praising of him, he'll find somebody that will. I want you to know something. I believe if we fail to do it, I believe he can make these bitches do it. But I want you to know something else. If we fail to do it, he'll find somebody that will. I want you to know Elijah at one time, he fell on hard times. There was a drought, a plant famine come across the land. Elijah prayed for it. And God said, you go and I'll take some ravens and abstain you. I'll feed you with some birds. I want you to realize God can use whatever he wants. And if we don't give him honor and glory, he'll use whatever it takes to do it. If I wasn't willing to step up and do what was right yesterday, he'll take whatever and do it. Our county can't marry people no more. You know why? Because they will not marry gay people. So they've had to take a stand to marry nobody. So if we don't take a stand to do what's right,
Who's going to?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus sent them to get that donkey. He said, you go release the colt and you get it. And he said, if they ask you, the owner asked you what you do, releasing the colt, you tell them the Lord have need of it. Luke 19:35, and they brought him to Jesus. Who'd they bring to Jesus? Not the leper, they brought the colt, the little donkey. And they cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus there on. And he went and spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude, they was the ones that rejected him. These were the ones that said he was not him. Some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Tell them to hush. And you know what he said? He answered and said unto them, listen to me, this time they had not went unto the Gentiles, unto the Samaritans. He said, first you go into the lost sheep of Israel and don't go into the Samaritans or none of the Gentile nations. At this time, the ones that followed him was mainly just Jews. I ain't going to say there wasn't some drafted in, but he said, I have sheep that's not of this fold. And you know who those sheep was? It was us. It was us. We was the Gentiles. Though he was a sheep that was not of the fold. And he said, listen. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You know who the stones is? It's us. You were a people that was no people. We were just a stone. But you know what you are now? If you've been saved by God's grace, you're a lively stone. You've been built on that cornerstone that was rejected of men, but chose of God.
Amen.
The only one that was able to do it. He was the only one. And he was chosen of the Father to come and do it. I'm going to finish with these. We read Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Sometimes we'll even get in 10 if we want to get on people about doing some works. But we always stop right there. And I love going on. This is the part. I love all of it, the whole thing. But once again, he's talking to Gentiles that's been saved and placed in the Lord's church. Wherefore, remember, in the 11th verse, you being in the times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. What did I tell you a while ago? They was Jews outwardly. We are Jews inwardly. Romans 2:20, I believe it is. Not of the flesh, but of the heart. That at that time you were without Christ, been aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What did he call them? And strangers from the covenants and the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Who is he saying? Paul is saying between us. You are a Gentile, I was a Jew. Between us. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances. For make in himself
a twain, which was two, which was, we was the people, was no people. Twain, one new man, so making peace. So he took the Jews and the Gentiles and made us into what? A new creature. I want you to realize when you're saved by God's grace, you become a new creature, but also we are a new creature in His tabernacle, in His temple, and we're built from being just stones, but lively stones. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the empty thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Who was afar off? The Gentiles. And to them that were nigh, who was nigh? The Jews. For through him we both have access. Who's both? The Jews and Gentiles. Everybody. I don't care what color, where you're from. It makes no difference. Jesus died for everyone. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, how do we do that? Through the Holy Spirit and Jesus being our mediator through the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more, listen, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. You're one of us. With the saints and the household of God. You were just a stone, but now you're a lively stone built on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. A royal priesthood, a chosen nation. And they and built, listen, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. What did we read about over there in Peter a while ago? Does Peter and Paul not agree? And whom all the building is fitly framed together. How's it framed together? Through the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ holding us together. Unto the holy temple and the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God. Amen. Through the Spirit. Seems like y'all got more out of the dollar store than y'all did that. But I'm going to tell you something. I just read something to you pretty special there. Amen. You was just out there. We was just out there. Some, like Jonah, come to Nineveh and preach the gospel. A bunch of them got saved. The whole city got saved. All of Nineveh got saved. Gentiles. But for the, you know why Jonah didn't want to go? Because they was Gentiles. They're coming. What did Peter say when the Lord told him to go there to the household of Cornelius, or he told him to take and eat? He said, my mouth ain't never took nothing in unclean, Lord. You know who he was really talking about? He was talking about you, the Gentiles. Peter, hey, he still had a little of that in him when he called them strangers. He wouldn't come out and say, unto the Gentiles that scattered abroad. He just called them strangers. He thought that sounded a little better. They didn't have no part with us. What did the Samaritan woman say when he come to the well? She said, y'all don't have no part with us. You don't. She was a part Jew. They was looked down worse. The Samaritans, they was looked down worse than being you was as a Gentile. You don't have no part with us. We were just coming. He said, if they hold their praise in, then these stones would raise up. Who raised up, people? The Gentile. And then he said,
You are lively stones. When all that started coming to me, I started going, hoo-wee.
Yeah.
I started giving a little hell of a thing. Hoo-wee. A people that was no people, strangers, aliens, in darkness.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
But because Jesus,
amen.
He came down and the veil was rent, the wall was torn down, and we had access to God just like everybody else. And it was always there. But we was always looked down upon. By everybody but who? Who's it, Jonah? God.
Amen.
We was looked down upon by everybody but God. He loved Nineveh enough, he wanted to save it. He loved you enough. He wanted to save you. A chosen nation. A chosen generation. If you don't shout for the Lord, when His presence comes in and you feel His glory, if you're not willing to stand up and shout and give praises unto God, He'll raise up something that will. If it has to be a donkey he makes talk, he'll make a donkey talk. If he has to make a raven take care of his people, he'll make a raven. You read the scriptures where it says yes, it says clap.
Yep.
We don't believe in it around here, but the Bible says it. It said the mountains clapped and praised unto him when they sung. I want you to realize you clap for God. You raise your holy hands for God. You say amen for God. If we're willing to hold our silence, he'll find somebody that will raise him up. So are you going to let it be you? Or is he going to have to rise up something else to give him glory? And don't think he won't. Don't think he won't. That's my message. I'm glad y'all like the dollar store part. I'm going to keep